kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm not dead. So, you know, little victories. I guess I'm fine.
That's a positive. That is always a positive.
The, like, 72% positive. We're fine.
We are not alone this week. Joining us, guest co-host, Ian Griffin. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Just so much excitement, I can't contain it.
I know, right?
I think we all need another nap.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to calm down, sir.
Okay. Actually, there is something I need, and it's in the fridge. I just need to get the cork yanker. Anyways.
Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am excited. It has been a fun week of news and some fun games to talk about. I don't think this is going to be too long of a show, so that's good.
Yay. Oh, okay.
Cole, how was your week?
My week was actually pretty okay. It wasn't like life-altering fantastic, but nothing bad happened, so I'm rolling with it.
Always good.
Yeah, you can't really be picky when it doesn't go poorly. You're like, well, there's nothing to bitch about, so I guess I'm fine. Yeah.
Yay.
It's the last week of school for the kids.
It is always good when you have stuff to bitch about.
It is. It makes for better stories.
It does.
And I just don't have anything to bitch about this week. I'm like, well, I didn't die. And nothing awful happened, so.
Ian, do you have anything to bitch about? I feel so empty not having a bitch session at the beginning of the show.
Well, the new Skype annoys me.
Yeah, it annoys me too.
I mean, I've adjusted to it.
I still miss having the Skype image on the stream.
Yeah. You know what was good about that? Because it would like glide up around the icon of whoever was talking. If we had more people and I didn't recognize all the voices,
yeah,
then it was easy to keep up with. Or if I didn't know if like background noise was being picked up, I could guarantee it if I saw it on the screen.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, the cats are tearing the house apart and I can't tell if y'all can hear it or not.
Well, I don't hear it.
Well, they're not currently doing it. They have done it in the past. Like, I was prepared tonight. I was like, number one, you have to take your cat. Gabe's already been, like, well-behaved for far longer than he normally is today. And so he's already pushing his luck.
Good for him.
And, yeah. Like, he's just at that teetering point of when he just starts being asshole cat. Because he's just been well-behaved for too damn long.
Outstanding. Nice.
I feel like we should be ASMRing it. And in today's news.
In today's news.
You're far better at that than I am. I can't ASMR with a voice like this.
Now that we're speaking about cats, I'm actually being pressured into getting a ninth cat.
Oh, wow. I mean,
yeah.
Nine seems like a good number. Nine cats, nine lives.
Is it
a specific kind of cat?
No, a kitten.
What kind of breed?
Just like a tiger stripe.
Oh, nice.
See, yeah, my uncle's a construction worker, and he found three kittens at his work site, and him and his girlfriend are taking care of them, and they're trying to offload one of them to us.
I'm assuming he probably told your wife before you.
My wife's the one who told me.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, I have a rule about cats in that it has to be a black cat, a solid gray cat, or a solid white cat. And that helps prevent, like, 74 cats coming through this door.
Well, two of them are black cats.
I would be in trouble then, because black cats are by large my favorite. Gabe is a solid black cat. Raven is a solid black cat. I was very adamant. Predator, you're just babysitting Predator for me. She's gonna come live with me. Every time she's meowing, she's telling you that she misses her old Kentucky home.
Oh yeah. Ian, do you think she could handle Predator?
Yeah.
You've heard Raven. Raven carries on awful sometimes.
No, I think she can handle Predator. Then again, I feel that she would be a much more strict disciplinarian.
Maybe.
I am a bitch.
Because Predator will like come up and check me out when I visit, but like she'll never beg me. I mean, admittedly, like you and the missus are Predator's bitch. That should have sailed. I mean, that train left the station long ago.
One of the best things happened earlier, because David is incredibly jealous that Gabriel is so attached to me. And so any chance he gets to like pick Gabe up and carry him around, he's like, oh, look, I've got your cat. And I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
I do that with Peaches all the time with Ashley.
Did he come in here earlier? And he's like, he's got Gabe, and Gabe weighs like 16 pounds. He's half Maine Coon. He's a big motherfucker. And David's just lugging him. He's like, I've got your cat. And I said, yeah, watch this. And I put my hand out and I went, Gabriel. And Gabe literally just bolted out of David's arm and come over and lay down on me. David said, you bitch. I was like, yeah, go love on Raven, asshole. This is my cat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing that with Ashley and Peaches, where Peaches, she actually sleeps on the couch on my side, like on the back of the couch.
Yeah.
So I'll just start snuggling with Peaches. I'll be like, hey, Ashley, look who I'm snuggling with. And she'll just flip me off. Good stuff.
And then Peaches claws your nuts out of your,
Oh God. Now, Peaches is chilled quite a bit. She doesn't really claw or swipe too much anymore. Only if you irritate her too much. She's good.
Neither one of my cats are bad. Raven, the worst Raven does is like meow to go outside, because he goes out, but Gabe does not. And that's because the people who had him before kept him outside all the time.
Mm.
So he'll, you know, we've been trying to work with him to get him to stay indoor. And he does stay indoors more than when we first brought him home. But he'll take a spell where he's like, no, I just really need to get the fuck out of here.
Peace, bitches.
And he will go, you know, from window to window to door to window. And he just meows, carries on awful. And then Gabe.
Cocaine.
Huh?
Cocaine.
I mean, I imagine all of them need a little something to put up with living with us, but not even with us. I think it's the dogs that make it so miserable for every other animal in this house.
Oh, just as long as there's a little bit of nip to go around.
Oh.
Nothing's terrible. Just a little nip.
Ashley's growing catnip this year.
And
every time that we take Potato out in the backyard for a walk, she bolts right over to the catnip and starts digging.
I love the pictures of Potato on her little leash. They're too much.
Oh, taters.
Potato.
Gabe would never. I could just see Gabe just flopping and rolling like he was being murdered. He wouldn't have it.
Oh, God, I'm so fucking high right now. No, seriously, guys, I do a lot of cocaine. I'm a catnip.
Oh, shit. Well, on that note, should we start talking about Vigi game news, since that's what our show's about?
Probably.
Sure. All right. The big news this week is probably going to be the new additions to Xbox Game Pass that were announced this week. There's a lot of games coming to Game Pass.
Yes. A lot of good games.
There are a lot of good games coming to Game Pass. Last week on the show, we talked about how a bunch of games are leaving Game Pass. Now we get to talk about the good news, where a bunch of games are coming to Game Pass. Starting this week, we already got the Banner Saga and Metal Gear Survive, which I know Metal Gear Survive doesn't have the best reputation, but free to play might help it quite a bit.
I don't think it's ever hurt anything.
Yeah. On May 29th, Void Bastards is launching direct to Game Pass.
Nice.
And we'll be talking about that next week. Yes. May 30th, Outer Wilds is launching direct to Game Pass. Finally, remember that was the freebie that we got for watching E3 on Mixer last year?
That has just been sitting on my hard drive saying pre-ordered. And then I finally remembered that I was like, I don't even know a release date for this. And then I uninstalled it. And then they're like, it's coming out next week. I was like, well.
Guess I'll reinstall it.
Son of a bitch. I don't have enough hard drive space for this.
How big is it?
I have one 500 gig internal. And then I have a 500 gig solid state drive external.
I meant how big was the game that you don't have enough room.
I don't remember.
Big enough.
Yeah, I mean, I can't afford any space because, like I said, I've only got a terabyte total, and most weeks I review, like, 12 games, so there's just no
we
space.
We have three to talk about this week.
This week, and I've already got ones installed for next week and the week after that.
You know, I remember back in the day when people didn't even know what the hell a gigawatt was.
What is a gigawatt?
A gross mispronunciation of gigawatt.
Gotcha.
Oh, boy. Let's see. In addition to the Outer Wilds on May 30th, Dead by Daylight is coming to Game Pass.
I've been begging Studio to get Dead by Daylight for ages. I think I reviewed it for you.
And I don't even remember. Possibly.
I don't remember. But I have it, and I want him to play it with me. But I couldn't, like, convince him it was worth it. But now that it's on Game Pass, I don't have to. I'll just be like, but you better install that.
That's been getting a lot of DLC, too. That has so many horror icons in the game now.
Yep.
I don't even have any
Sorry to interrupt. But there have been, like, a lot of changes to a lot of game mechanics as well. So, I mean, if you played it, like, a year or two ago, like, it's... I don't want to say it's completely different, but there's a lot of new icons. I've been hearing rumors. I don't know if it's been confirmed or denied. I haven't really looked into it, but I heard that Ghostface from the Scream movies is the next killer that's to be slated.
Yeah.
I think that leaked in like some of their patch information that they had the character model in there and it leaked out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the hag. That's my favorite.
Yeah. And also Ghostface, like, there's always been kind of like a top 10 list of horror icons that everyone and their mom is hoping, praying, tinfoil hatting, will be in the game. Because, I mean, let's see, right now they've got, like, Freddy Krueger, Mike Myers, Leatherface, the girl from the Saw movies with the pig mask.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm forgetting someone.
Isn't like I said, Ash? It's been a while. In there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Ash as a survivor. Yeah. I think if he's not in it, he's going to be in it soon.
Still, it's really awesome.
Yeah. But it's cool that they're able to get permission to use those likenesses for the game and all that.
Yeah. Too bad there's a Friday the 13th game already out where maybe we could get the whole kit and caboodle in the game.
Yeah. It did have the potential to possibly be, the Dead by Daylight killer, but nope.
Nope, not at all. But yeah, Dead by Daylight coming to Game Pass. Again, these multiplayer games coming to Game Pass are genius. It is such a good idea to have these kind of games coming to Game Pass.
Yay.
Hooray. Cole, any thoughts?
No, I love Dead by Daylight, and I'm excited, and I want to play it.
Well, you can play it, because you
own
it. I know.
Well, I mean, I own it, but like, I want to make Stu to play it with me. And probably YouTube, because when you play with a group, you have to play as the survivors. And so I need to minimize the number of randoms I'm stuck with.
Makes sense.
Otherwise, I'm just going to spend all my time playing as the hack, because that's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, man. But that is not it with Game Pass editions. On June 6th, we are getting the Banner Saga 2, Full Metal Furies, and Super Hot.
Super hot. Still haven't played
super
that.
Hot. Super hot. Hot. Super super.
It has to happen every time. Hot, I don't know anybody that can say super hot and not say it like that now.
Mm-hmm. Super.
It's hot. Report.
Hot, super.
I'm
hungry.
I am coughing up a lung. I don't know why.
Nasty.
Don't know why. Anyway, some other news. There's word going around that GameStop is about to shitify their power-up reward program. Have you heard any news on this?
I think I saw where you either tweeted it or posted it on Facebook, and that was my extent of my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't seen any kind of confirmation from GameStop yet, but the report is saying that in the revamp of the service, the price is jumping from 15 a year to 20 a year, which isn't bad. You know, price increases happen. I wouldn't mind right. An extra $5, you know, $20 for a year of Game Informer is still worth it. The big thing is it removes the 10% discount when buying used games.
That was the only reason I ever bought Power Up Rewards anyway.
Yeah, you know, the whole motherfucking point of the program.
Yeah. That's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, apparently it will keep the 10% trade-in bonus, and instead of any kind of discount, users will instead get a $5 voucher to use each month in a use-it-or-lose-it program, but no more actual 10% discount on used games, if this is true. Again, I even asked some people at GameStop, and they had no idea what I was talking about, so it's possible this report is bunk, but, you know, can GameStop just go under already?
Ours closed. We don't have one anymore. I mean, it was just a little hole in the wall anyway, but...
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember back in the good old days of software, etc., Babbage's, Electronics Boutique. And for all you fucking kids out there that have no idea what I'm talking about, software, all those stores I just listed are literally the grandfathers of GameStop.
Yeah. GameStop gobbled them all up.
Well, they basically bought each other out and merged, et cetera, so on and so forth, and consolidated until it became GameStop, and then it went completely to shit.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's about to get shittier.
Yeah, it does. I hope the report isn't true, because I still do buy a couple of games at GameStop every year. I just bought a handful of games at their Pro Day sale that they had going on, and that discount adds up. And if they remove the discount, I have no reason to renew my power up.
I think that's kind of the worst of it, is they're raising the price and taking something away from it. That's just insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could say, oh yeah, you pay $20, but you get a year subscription to the magazine and you get $5 every month to use. That's $60 right there. And you're only paying $20. But I, you know, I didn't join the program to get a $5 voucher to use a month.
I mean, I would argue that most people who are bothering to pay for Power Up Rewards are probably getting more than $5 out of that 10% off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're willing to pay for it, you're probably using it pretty heavily, which just puts more money in their pockets, I guess.
But yeah, pretty much.
It's a bummer.
Oh, GameStop, get your shit together.
They won't.
No,
I mean, I could direct you to a couple of really eye-opening videos on YouTube that explain just how fucking scummy GameStop really is.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt it at all. let's see what other news. Alice Madness Returns has been added to the EA Access Vault for Xbox players, so that's cool.
I've always wanted to play that game. And then I just forget about it until after it's like on sale and I'm broke, or it's just not an option. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I forgot that existed.
I always liked the first one. I've never played the second one, though.
Well, the first one's actually included with the second one in the vault.
Oh, nice.
Because it was a part of the, remember when online passes were a big thing?
Mm-hmm.
The online pass for Alice was the first game.
Oh.
So if you bought it new or you bought the online pass, you got it. You got the original Alice game.
Gotcha.
American McGee's Alice.
Yeah.
There's a rumor that From Software's next title is a collaboration between Miyazaki, the Souls director, and George R.R. Martin that is supposed to be announced at Microsoft's E3 briefing.
Mm.
Thoughts on this?
Well, now that he's done with Game of Thrones, and hey, you want a bitch fest? just look for anything concerning the final episode of Game of Thrones.
Don't you get my feels?
I didn't mind the final episode. I was good with it. I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to get into any spoiler territory. But
I'm not gonna get into spoilers. But I'm remarkably surprised at how outspoken a lot of the primary cast members are concerning how everything went down.
Like, what have they said?
Like I said, I kind of can't get too much into it because some of it's in direct relation to what happened with certain characters and so on, you know, because I don't want to make the inferences, but a lot of people were kind of confused. Some people were kind of what the fuck. Some people flat out said they were disappointed. And, you know, one or two cast persons, trying to keep it gender neutral so I don't drop hints, were just basically like, I wouldn't say like furious or angry, but kind of like
disappointed,
a bit vexed about how their characters were handled in the final moments. Well, final episode, I guess, would be a better way to put it. Because in a way, it's understandable. Because I mean, like, they've been playing these characters for like 8 seasons for like 10 years. Is that how long it's been going on for?
Yeah,
10 or 11,
give or take. Yeah. And to have things kind of go out the way they did,
huh?
Well, I mean, the downside to Game of Thrones is that we all watched it knowing damn good and well that it wasn't gonna be a positive ending.
True.
None of us were getting our happily ever after out of that, no matter what side you were on.
First off, it's not necessarily about a happily ever after, because if you haven't figured out by season two that the series was going to have
you
know, some kind of incredibly Pyrrhic ending, you're watching the wrong fucking show.
Yeah.
There's even a quote from Ramsay where he's like, if you think this has a happy ending, you're not paying attention. in the show.
basically, it's been kind of somewhat universally agreed across the fandom that the show kind of went downhill when they ran out of book material.
Yeah.
I know that people keep using that argument, but I think people keep forgetting that George R.R. Martin was an executive producer. He could have cut them off from the path they were going at any time. He had input. He wrote some of the episodes. So, true. I mean, it's not like it wasn't his vision. That's what he told them was going to happen.
Not exactly.
No, because he did say, they did say, I remember back during seasons 5 and 6 when people were like, oh, they're going to run out of, you know, material from the books. And they were like, yes, but he's told us what happens. We know his vision. And he did write some of those later episodes. Yeah. So we can't blame. Everybody wants to blame, you know, Benioff and Weiss over it, but you really kind of can't. I mean, that was George R. R. Martin's baby. And he did have a hand in where it went, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
But another issue that comes up as far as that argument goes is that the two writers, like, they just wanted the series to end.
They did. That is the bigger issue.
Yeah, they fought for shorter seasons, which is why 7 and 8 were lacking a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
HBO wanted it to go 10 seasons.
Yeah, and I think the writers were just like, let's just try to get from point A to point Z, and if we have to lop out a few letters, fuck it.
Yeah.
Who's gonna miss Q?
Yeah. Well, apparently everybody.
Well, the problem isn't that they got rid of Q, it's that they got rid of S and T and M and like popular letters that people used.
That is one of the bigger downsides. Like they rushed everything at the end to try to tie it up.
Yeah.
And so they lost a lot of their character development in the process.
Yeah, basically the biggest argument I've seen is that a lot of characters were reduced to their base attributes and lost a great deal of their complexity and motivation.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't name names, but I'm sure you guys kind of can think of at least 3 major characters that have kind of gone this route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just leaving there. But anyways, speaking about dicks.
Speaking of dicks.
And that show definitely had a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
I wouldn't, man.
Oh, man. Let's see. What other news? THQ Nordic has acquired developer Piranha Bytes. They're best known for their work on the Gothic and Risen series and most recently for the game Alex. I guess this means we won't see a proper Risen 4 anytime soon.
I'm not familiar with any of these series.
I'm still mad because Risen was one of the first games shown off in material for the backward compatibility program, and we still haven't gotten them.
Mm.
They were in promotional images when they first talked about the goddamn program. I want to play the Risen games on my Xbox One. Got all three of them waiting.
I wonder what the hiccup is there, because typically it's... I know I've ranted about it before, but like there's a team at Microsoft that's responsible for making these games functional.
Yeah.
Within the emulator. And then, of course, they have to do all the back channel stuff of getting the permission of the developers and everything.
So it wasn't, just to make sure I'm thinking of the right one, Risen, isn't it sort of like a Skyrim-ish type of game?
Yep.
Or like Elder Scrolls in general?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nerd that fodder.
Risen and Two Worlds are like the generic Skyrim games.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But well, then why would you think that with THQ's backing, why do you think they wouldn't put that into Risen 4?
Because Risen 4 was, or the Risen series was published by Deep Silver.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
You can't be any other person's punch.
Gotcha.
If we do see a Risen 4, it would probably be a different developer.
Hmm. Okay, I'm on board. I understand now.
Yeah. Mm. And speaking of THQ Nordic, it's been reported that developer has 80 games in development right now.
Wow. They're killing 80. It. I don't think we have ever seen a publisher or developer come back with quite as much vengeance as THQ Nordic has done. Like, they were... Talk about a phoenix from the ashes, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, 80 games. That is ridiculous.
Even if they're playing like the stats game, where basically they're just going to take those 80 games, throw it at a wall, and see what sticks. I mean, even statistically speaking, I'm willing to bet like anywhere between 5 to 10 of those are going to be pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the rumors is that
odds are in their favor.
True.
No.
One of the rumors is that a new Destroy All Humans is supposed to be unveiled at E3. So I would be excited if that is true.
That'd be pleasant.
And then it's been confirmed that Metro Exodus was the largest release in THQ Nordic's history and is already a profitable game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
That means all that profit can be sprinkled among the other 80 seeds.
Yay.
That's a lot of seeds.
A lot.
Last bit of news I have is that Minecraft is now officially the best-selling video game of all time, with over 176 million copies sold.
That's because any household with a kid has, like, 7 copies.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, like, Minecraft, even, you know, just plain Jane Vanilla Minecraft, it's basically like digital Legos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's... Put on creative, give it to a kid, and they will go nuts for as long as you need them to be distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
And then beyond, because then they're going to start looking for Minecraft videos on YouTube, and then they're going to want the Minecraft books. It's like if you give a mouse a cookie, but it's if you give a kid Minecraft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, heck, yeah. I mean, I still play Minecraft. I got a bunch of mods, different games that I've, you know, got loaded up. I've got one that's basically like Minecraft version of Stardew Valley, except you have to actually build the village from scratch, which is actually pretty fun.
I have never once played Minecraft. Really? I don't know how I have managed to avoid it, but I have not touched it. That said, we have it on literally every device in this house. We have it on Windows 10. We have it on Android tablets. We have it on Android phones. We have it on the Xbox 360. We have it on the Xbox One. It's excessive. It is excessive.
I still want to get it on the Switch just so I could unlock Xbox achievements on my Switch.
We even have it on the Raspberry Pi.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because I bought number one for Christmas about 2 years ago. She's really big into coding. And so I bought her like one of those. It's called a Raspberry Pi Zero.
Mm. Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, and it's like pa. Super. Well, yeah, I had to correct myself. I gave up on, I said pa, but I corrected myself on Zira.
Zira declare.
It basically looks like a little thumb drive. Damn. And it's in a little tiny pink case. Like thumb drive.
I do declare that doesn't sound like the most adorable thing ever.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I'm trying to stay on topic, you fuckheads.
Frankly, anyway, cool, I don't give a damn.
That little Raspberry Pi Zero plays Minecraft.
Zira. Yeah. Raspberry Pi Zira.
I think it has a W on the end of it, too. I don't remember. It was like $15. I don't know. The whole computer system on one chip for like $15.
Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's the age that we're in.
Mm. I mean, it's literally just a thumb drive is basically all it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I remember way back when a 1 gigabyte flash drive was like $40. Now you could probably go out and buy it for like two.
I remember 5 1/4 drives.
Yeah. 5 1/4 floppy disks.
Like the actual worst floppy part of floppy disks. Parenting career was the day I realized my children didn't know why a save icon was a disk.
Oh man.
Like to them it was just a foreign concept that you had a little plastic disk that held your shit. And I'm sitting here thinking, I remember when they weren't even little hard plastic ones.
Oh, hey, you remember like the original Laserdiscs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, now for the kids that have no idea what that is, okay, think of a DVD the size of a vinyl record. Mm-hmm. Now, for all of you out there who have no idea what a vinyl record is,
fuck
think
you.
Of a black plastic hubcap that played music.
What if we don't know what a hubcap is?
Well, then your two guns will be driving fuck off. Get out of here. You shouldn't be here. This is a mature channel.
Is mentioning records, like the most that people in number one's age group, she's 15, their familiarity with records is that it's trendy to use old records as a painting canvas to make a clock.
Really?
And you find them all over Etsy. And I remember...
Right.
Yeah. My mother-in-law, she still has just stacks and stacks of... It's obscene how many records that woman has.
Oh, hey. And, yeah, I found this one record, and I decided to paint it up. Have you guys ever heard of the Beatles? I think it was called, like, Abbey Road or something.
She
like,
does have that one.
First edition, whatever. Anyways, I painted it. Okay,
like she has legit old Elvis records and everything. They're stacked to the ceiling in that house over there.
Oh, boy.
You just go lose somebody in a sea of records in that house.
No time. Speaking of discs.
Speaking of discs.
Oh. Oh, man. But yeah, that's the news I have for the week. Anything from you two? Any news you want to talk about?
Monster Hunter World is on sale over at Humble Bundle for like $39.
Nice.
And it's in Game Pass.
Yeah, it is in Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Cole, any news?
No, I don't know how, but I've just... Lord, voice, please come back.
See, you're making fun of me.
I know I make fun of it for sounding bad, but I'd miss it if it was gone. I don't know what happened there either. It was just like gone. No, I don't have any news. I don't know how, but I've just managed to be in a bubble away from anything news related this week.
Nice. Well, then I say it is time to move on. We have a giveaway to do. Yeah. We got a couple of codes for the game Super Space Serpent SE, and we asked y'alls on Twitter to send us an email and tell us why you wanted the game. We got 3 emails to go through, and I say we get going, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get this pick.
First email from a Roto Tomato who says, I once broke an Asteroids arcade machine by dropping soda all over it, and also like colorful neon-like stuff. And being a product of the 90s, I've never been to space, not like you guys. I mean, from Asteroids to Space Invaders. Y'all played around space when I wasn't old enough to wear diapers, and now all I hear is how much of a grand old time you had fighting aliens, blowing up big space rocks, and I'm left here looking at my bathroom mirror thinking it could have been me. Every human being goes through his entire life waiting for a moment to say, fuck the rules. Space is a lawless country, and it's there that I want to live until the day I die. I shall see my dream come true in the form of a giant, transparent space whale filled with cosmic matter. I'll be damned if I can't play the Asteroids of the modern age. Oh, my Lord.
Roto never lets us down.
Never.
That one was decidedly short on poop, too.
I know.
So I'm more proud.
And he would have gotten bonus points if he dropped a Firefly reference.
And then he ends the email with, how about them Game of Thrones, huh?
Oh, God.
Aroto, good news. You're getting a copy of the game because we have enough to go to everybody. So, Aroto, you get a copy of the game.
You get a code. You get a code. Everybody's getting codes.
Everybody is getting codes.
You either win or you fizzle out.
Next email's from BX Latino Heat, who says, hello once again to the SML podcast. I've always been a huge fan of twin stick shooters and enjoy taking the fight to the enemies, but Super Space Serpent is very different from the others. I've played this one being inspired by old arcade games, in a class by itself. Just being the first to actually fly a prototype spaceship called Serpent is cool itself. Never mind you having to take down countless enemies with ruthless aggression. It's why I enjoy twin-stick shooters in the first place. One thing that stands out the most that this has an 80s-era feel to it with its unique retro twin-stick gameplay featuring flashing lights and color effects, not to mention carries an awesome soundtrack to add to the bloodbath I will lay down on all my enemies as I travel the multiverse, taking down the invaders, trying to mess up our universe equals kick alien ass. Thanks so much to the SML podcast family for always making me feel at home. Good news, BX Latino. You are getting a copy of Super Space Serpent SE.
Congratulations.
Hooray. And then
you win by default.
You win by default. You win with no effort required.
Rude. Could have just sent in an email that said, ha, we would have been like, yeah, you win.
Yeah, pretty much. Jordan in the chat was saying he's not creative enough to enter our email contest. He literally could have emailed and said, hey, I want a copy of the game. Can I please have one? And I would have been like, yeah, you win a copy of the game. That'll teach you to sit on your ass and not send in an email.
You don't need to be creative to win.
You don't need to be creative for shit for this show. That's why they let me be on here.
Exactly. Final email comes from John Prudlow, who says, dear SML podcast, I love twin stick shooters almost as much as Carnage loves twin stick shooters and puns. So when I saw that you were giving away a copy of Super Space Serpent SE by Petrus Games, I was abso-freaking-lutely more than intrigued. Games like Geometry Wars and Ultratron turn me on to where I have to close the curtains when playing as I get orgasmically addicted. I've been known to play Ultratron until I'm sleep deprived.
Ears.
And ignoring the rational side of my brain that says 4 hours of sleep will make a very rough day at work. Based on Purnell's review in the trailer, along with other online reviews, there's a lot to like about the game, including the music. Music makes for great addictive retro-style twin-stick game. The challenge of navigating your spaceship serpent around enemies while picking up power-ups and rocking out to some tunes is enough to entice any casual gamer looking for hours of fun. It sounds as though there may be a little difficulty for those with some level of color blindness. Hopefully I'm able to discern the enemies from the screen background, but either way, I'm ready for the challenge. Maybe you have to be a snake to see some of the enemies. Are snakes colorblind? I don't know. Who knows? All I know is this game looks awesome. Thanks for the opportunity and keep up the good word. Good work. Why did I say word? Keep up the good work.
Drunk.
I am drunk. John, you are getting a copy of the game.
Yay.
You win by default.
Hooray.
Everybody wins by default. You get a copy. You get a copy.
Hey, those are my favorite contests.
You get a copy.
Those are my favorite contests when we have enough codes to go to everyone.
Ooh, we feel guilty as shit telling anybody no.
Yeah. Contests, yes, yeah. In quotes, contests.
Air quotes.
See, that's why it's going to be a pain if all of a sudden like a ton of people drop emails like, oh, wow, we actually have to make a concerted effort to pick someone.
Yeah, it's never fun when you have to actually judge. Based on arbitrary
criteria.
It's bad enough when you got like 8 people and 3 codes, but when you have like 8 people and 7 codes, then you
just feel
like
a shithead. Oh, that is so much worse when we have to find one person and be like, yeah, bad news, you specifically lose.
No, if it was something like that, if it was in the right multiple, I would just go get like my bag of dice. It's like 8 people. All right. This guy's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Whichever one I roll, they get fucked.
I have lost before I became co-host. I have lost giveaway codes to the Gears of War coaster.
Which I found, by the way.
Yay!
I have my Gears coaster once again.
Very nice.
Yay!
Yeah, I have lost to that fucking coaster.
You love the coaster, admit it.
No, that coaster, fuck off.
That's a cute little coaster.
I may have been the reason it was me.
You murdered it.
Yeah.
I killed that son of a bitch coaster.
I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those meddling cats.
I was going to say, and I killed that coaster and I fed it to my cats. There ain't hardly none left of it. And I went and got myself a slice of pie.
Oh boy. Well, you ready to start reviews?
As well.
Of course not. Let's do it anyways.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Dauntless, developed by Phoenix Labs, published by Epic Games, released May 21st on Xbox One, PS4, and the Epic Games Store as a free-to-play title with in-game microtransactions. Hunt behemoths, powerful, wild, and ravenous for the Aether that holds the Shattered Isles aloft. Behemoths are a threat to our very existence. Team up with other slayers to confront these massive beasts before they consume what's left of our world. Cole, tell us, what is Dauntless?
So, I feel like Ian's going to choke down my throat when I phrase it like this. Here was my first reaction. This is Monster Hunter World with a Fortnite skin. That's not a negative thing. It's just that it definitely has that cartoonish aesthetic.
Yeah, I don't want to say cartoonish. It's more animated.
Yeah, it's definitely stylized.
It's not hyper-realistic.
Yeah.
In its art style.
And it's not detrimental, but it just very much reminded me of Fortnite. Right down to the font when you're attacking the behemoths, the font for the damage numbers is the exact same as the one used in Fortnite.
Now, something to weigh in on is that originally, like, that was different. Like, they made a lot of incredibly, like, I don't want to say questionable, but when I first got in on the open beta before, you know, way back when, like, everything had a much more slightly fantasy element to it, like the font, the menu window borders. It was a little more artistic, and for some reason they kind of like boiled it down to that minimalist.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it almost looks like, you know, like Windows, you know, like an application. You know, it doesn't really, I mean, I'll have to see if I can like dig up some old screenshots of the menus and stuff, but yeah, and I always thought it was kind of weird that they kind of changed the font, especially, you know, even the damage numbers. And strangely enough, now that you've, like, I don't play Fortnite, so I played it once, got fucked out of first place in my first match, and I uninstalled it. But
nice.
But like hearing you say that, like, you know, I mean, that the, like, even the damage numbers now look a lot like Fortnite. I was like, you know, from a marketing perspective, I can kind of see how they might be low-key trying to cop the style to try to pull in.
They're both Epic games.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just doing it to keep things uniform among their games.
Yeah, it's definitely like a conscious design decision. You can tell that it was not, you know, on accident. It's not necessarily a negative either in any way. Yeah. But it's one of those instances where you load it up and you go into it and you start playing and you're like, I know exactly who is behind this shit. I have no questions here. As far as the actual gameplay of it goes, you play as a slayer. You are dropped into this fantasy world, literally dropped onto these shattered islands, and you're going to go out and hunt down these behemoths that are giant ass monsters that are fucking up the world. It's pretty cut and dry.
Very dry.
there's not a lot of questions as to what you're playing. Like, you know going into it what it's going to be, and it doesn't send you off on any kind of unusual quest where you're like, what is this game? You're going in, you're going to kill monsters, you're going to get loot, you're going to use that loot to craft better shit so you can go kill bigger monsters.
Yep. It's pretty straightforward with that.
And that's, again, not a bad thing in any way at all. It works for Monster Hunter World, so it works for Dauntless. I love some of the creature designs. Though. When we were playing with Joe,
I am some of Joe. Those,
yeah, I know that. But I was also playing with people other than you. God damn it, Joe. Let me get my story out. Shut the fuck up. It's my podcast right now. When we were playing with Joe and other people, then we were going against some really cool-ass looking monsters that were just the creativity that's gone into their design was really blowing me away. The materials that you're going to get to craft with, all of that boils down to the types of monsters that you're hunting, and they have different perks and some. It's not necessarily that any one type of class that you're going to build up to your character as is better than another. It's just that they're all balanced, but they have pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to build up your team and the people that you're going on these hunts with in a way that you're all helping each other out to take out these monsters as efficiently as possible. Because yeah. You have to hunt them down and just play the shit out of them forever to actually take them out. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're in a situation where it's not like everybody is doing a certain type of damage, and then when you die, that's it. You've wiped and you've not done any good.
Yeah.
You want to just be careful and kind of plan your hunt as a group. And I like that kind of element to it, where you're not just like, just everybody's jumping in with DPS type of build and doing the most damage. You need people who are going to have different kind of elemental effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as someone that plays a lot, who has played a lot of solo, I mean, the cool thing about it is that even if you don't necessarily have a varied group,
mm-hmm.
you can still kind of somewhat make do. I mean, like, I think there's only a few instances where like fights took for quote unquote forever because, you know, most of the people had a certain weapon type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, because I'm trying to think, because just to give a, there's like six weapons total. Yeah, see, swords, axes, chain blades,
dual blades, yeah,
pikes, and
hammers and guns.
Hammers and pistols, mm-hmm. yeah. And I think the only time that it ever took a good chunk of time is if, like, there's like a lot of people with guns or a lot of people with chain blades. But, you know, even then, if everyone is competent and, you know, stays on point with what they're doing, you'll get it eventually. It'll just take a little bit longer than if you had, like, you know, a guy with an axe, a guy with a hammer, a guy with a sword, and a guy with a war pike. Because you have, you know, each weapon kind of has its own little niche in the combat scheme that, you know, usually the more you have, the better it is. But, I mean, it's not like you're fucked if you have, like, four people with guns. In fact, probably one of the fastest hunts I've ever been on was when I was in a group with four people with really tweaked up guns, and we just, I mean, it was a hate crime. we just laid into it, and that thing just went down in probably, like, I'm gonna say at least 5 minutes flat.
I do wish that there were a little more detail on the, like, how the weapons can be used at their best. Like, I feel like it's just like, yes, this is what you've got, good luck. A little more explanation, like what pairs well together, would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get that, because like a lot of information that I take for granted, I've learned and gleaned from more experienced players as I was playing through the game. And one of the systems in play is the whole cell thing. Like each piece of armor and each weapon have these slots where you can put these cells. And these cells give you like additional perks, bonuses, benefits, you know, like conditional type stuff, like because, I mean, you have the whole iframe dodge thing. So, like, if you look like you're going to get belly whopped on by a giant behemoth and you know you're not going to outrun it, if you time your dodge roll just right, you'll iframe clean through it. If anyone out there has no idea what an iframe is, play Dark Souls sometime.
Invincibility frames. When you dodge, you're invincible.
Yeah. And there's like cells that will like increase the window for how long that invincibility lasts. There are some that will give you increased attack speed if you successfully dodge it, or increased attack power. I mean, there's like a whole slew load of plethora of perks. Plethora of stuff that you can
That's her customize. Favorite word.
I love that word.
Yeah. That you can use to customize your build and make it a lot more fine tuned. You know, like I think I was telling Joe the other night when we were playing together, that there was a guy with a hammer and he had cells equipped into his hammer to really amplify stagger damage. And stagger damage is basically to oversimplify it, to knock the behemoth unconscious for a couple of seconds. So basically, if he hits it in the head enough times, the thing's going to like keel over and just kind of get stunned for about like maybe 10, 15 seconds, and everyone could just go to town. And this guy was just repeatedly knocking him over, gets back up, knocks him back down, gets back up, knocks him back down. And there's only two of us. It was just me and him. And he was just totally knocking this guy over. Like he was like MLG level. But yeah, like once you get to a certain point where you, and that's the beauty about the game, is that like all these quests give you cells along the way. It doesn't seem like much. But by the time you kind of get to end game content, you should have a nice collection that you can play around with.
Yeah.
And, you know, start figuring out different builds for different armors, for different behemoths that you might have trouble with. And there's a bit of variability to it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down, by the way.
Oh, no. We kept him down.
Speaking of getting knocked down. One of the things that I really did like is the way the revive system works. You can be revived by your teammates, or you have the self-revives. Mm-hmm. I would have liked if it had explained, though, that if you're in 100% danger mode, that you have to self-revive. Nobody can pick you up.
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
That was something, like, then that's the thing, because, I mean, I've been at endgame content for, like, a long ass time, so I'm not quite sure how the tutorials look and work now.
They don't.
But that's one of the biggest questions I usually get when I'm streaming it is, hey, what's that little number in the upper right corner with the percentage? And you're like, oh, that's the danger meter. What's the danger meter? And it's basically a threat assessment of whether or not your team can cut it. So basically, if your team's getting its ass handed to you, that thing's going to go flying up to 100, and it's basically the game's polite way of saying you don't have what it takes.
Yeah, you're underleveled or you're under-equipped, and it's time to reevaluate your choices in life and go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I mean, like you're kind of holding out, but the problem is that you just don't you're just shy of the mark of being able to get this thing down. So we're just going to kind of call it here, and you know, you guys come back when you're a little more beefy.
Yeah.
The plus side is, though, you still get to take what you've looted and stuff with you when you fuck up. It's still not like a total wash. You're still going to get good equipment, you know, good crafting materials that you can turn into good equipment.
Yeah. I can say, once upon a time, you only got one revive, and if you wiped, you didn't get shit. That's why the end gamers are hardcore. Because you can't afford to fuck up.
Yeah, really. So I had...
Oop, go ahead. No, I'll give the floor to Cole.
Go ahead, Cole.
I had one minor complaint, especially since we talked about the looks of everything. You can customize what your Slayer looks like. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through the customization process, I was trying to choose curly hair for my girl, because I basically have a and I wanted my character to have one too. There were three options for curly hair, but if you chose any of those, it automatically made your hair color black, and then whatever color you were trying to choose was chosen as the highlight.
I will say here now that like a lot of the cosmetic stuff are currently borked and they're working on it.
That was definitely...
yeah, because that happened to me even before the official release, because there was a really big content patch that completely overhauled the whole progression system, I want to say 2 weeks before it released on Epic. And that exact same thing happened, because I wanted to check out the new hairstyles, and I was flipping through, and all of a sudden I noticed that like, it completely changed my hair color, and it wouldn't let me change it back. And also, I've noticed, after noodling around with it, like the dyes for the armor are all borked up, too. So, you know, don't be too hard on that. They're still like dealing with the initial release crush, because once that hit Epic, holy fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I don't think like their servers just got crushed so hard. Like even earlier this afternoon, like the servers are up. They got disconnected a couple times. There's some latency issues, but I'm sure they will fix the cosmetic issues eventually. But at the moment, they definitely have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, I know Chris, he was trying to play yesterday, and he got into a waiting queue that was like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the game is getting hammered straight out of the gate.
Yeah, don't necessarily blame them for it. It's just one of those, they honestly didn't expect to have it blow up like this, because the open beta was free. Yeah. So, you know, technically speaking, everyone and anyone can get in on it. Well, I mean, on PC, obviously, but anyone could get in on it if they wanted to. And well, I mean, I mean, it's good for them that like it's such a huge turnout. But man, it kind of sucks that they got ravaged so hard.
My biggest issue with there being problems with the cosmetic stuff is that because this is a free-to-play game, the cosmetics are the microtransactions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're paying for these cosmetic items and they're not working, that's problematic. So that is still something that, you know, is worth mentioning. It's free to play, but if you're going to put money into it, your shit might be broke.
That's definitely a fair point. And I will say that I had an issue. I can't really get into the technicalities of it, but I did have an issue when they had the big progression patch prior to the launch, and TLDR, like I lost a solid chunk of very important inventory, and I submitted a ticket with support, and to their credit, they did get back to me very promptly, and after playing a little email tag here and there to get to the nature of the problem, they were very quick and expeditious in the response of resolving it to my satisfaction.
That's good.
That's good.
So I will definitely give Phoenix Labs props for a very speedy response to that, especially since I was not the only person having this issue.
Yeah, that's respectable. Mm.
But yeah, we got to make a verdict on this game. Unfortunately, we can't say buy it, try it, or deny it because you can't buy the game. But is this a game that people should be paying attention to? And is this a game that people, is it worth downloading?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a little final thing to come in, because there also to kind of address the elephant in the room is the whole self-perceived Dauntless versus Monster Hunter quote unquote rivalry. And that most of the people that I play with in Dauntless also own and play Monster Hunter, and none of them complain about it. The best way to compare Dauntless to Monster Hunter is like comparing checkers to chess. You know, it's a simpler version, it's a bit faster paced, but that doesn't make it any less fun.
Yeah.
I think it could easily be one of those situations where Dauntless being free and being as easy to get into as it is may open up this type of game to people who wouldn't have tried Monster Hunter World, because Monster Hunter was a full price game on launch, and it was, you know, not cheap, and it is a more complicated game to get into. Yeah. This is a good entry point. If you're like, I don't know if I like this kind of game, well, you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit down for a couple of hours and give it a whirl.
Yeah.
It's a lot more approachable, too. It's easier to get into.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I played some Monster Hunter when I came to visit you one time, Joe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I played it enough to, you know, get a solid grasp on, you know, the intricacies of the game. Like, I played it enough to get into the next area, get a couple weapons, you know, so I understand the full experience. It's not like I just played the tutorial and then made a judgment. And, you know, like, both games are good in their own right. And, you know, it's just a matter of pacing and style. I mean, it depends on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go. Like, you know, they're both good games, but, you know, like we were talking about the other night with Chris, you know, sometimes it's fun to really get into the meat and potatoes of what Monster Hunter has to offer, but sometimes you just want a quick and dirty fight with a giant Pokemon in Dauntless.
Yeah.
And, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like
best
I said,
of all, No Time for Games just dropped 75 bitties, so you know what that means.
Dropping bits!
Oh, dropping bits, indeed. Thank you, George.
Dropping bitties.
Dropping bits.
Drop them bitties.
I always feel so out of place in the after when Joe is hollering the dropping bit thing too, and I'm just sitting here like,
Yep.
Try it, Cole. Come on.
Y'all have fun with that. Yeah.
Have Come you on, heard, Cole. Have you heard give us one. Voice? Give us no, one.
It would be like, dropping bits.
Dropping bitties.
I do declare you'll drop some delicious bitties.
All right, so Dauntless is a game definitely worth checking out. What's everyone's final thoughts on it? Ian, what do you think of Dauntless? Final thoughts.
I think it's a fun game to play. I mean, I enjoy it. Yeah, especially, like, yeah, do it to it.
Cole?
Gotta slay them all.
I enjoyed it. I look forward to playing some more of it. Studio is going to download it. We're going to drag his ass into it, see what he thinks. And it's one of those, no, I'm probably not going to play it like around the clock. It's not going to replace Rocket League or The Division.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have an hour or two and you want to kill and you want to do something kind of mindless. Here you go.
Do a couple of hunts.
Just go do a few hunts, whack around on some beasts, and carry on with the rest of the day.
The highest praise I could give this game is I have been in a funk for a couple of months now where, like, no games seem interesting to me anymore. Like, I put my time in with the games that we have to review. I enjoy them, but I never sit down and I'm like, oh, I really want to play this game right now. I really want to play Dauntless right now.
The biggest testament to that, too, is, like, I woke up the other morning to get the girls ready for school, and I had a message from, like, 2 a.m. of Joe going, hey, are you around? Do you want to play Dauntless? I'm like, no, the fuck I ain't around.
Hey, I didn't know. There was a chance you might have still been up.
No, goddamn school now when I gotta get up at 3 or 5, 3. Get up at 5 a.m. Shit, no. But that's like the first time you've just kind of randomly been like, "We should
hey,
play this.
Do you want to play something?"
Yeah, and it was a testament that it had your attention. You were enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Dauntless a lot. I already dropped a couple of bucks to get the Elite Pass for the first season on console.
Not surprised. And,
I might pick up another couple of seasons. I'm having fun with it, and I want to keep playing it.
If there was a collector's edition of a behemoth, you would have already pre-ordered
oh,
it.
Oh, Jesus. If they release a collector's edition of this game with a giant-ass statue, you are goddamn right I would buy it. Hopefully they would include some in-game content and not just a giant statue, but nope. I would still just get a giant Dauntless statue. Ian, what behemoth would you want a statue of?
Bye, Ian. We miss you.
Did he disappear?
I don't know, but he sure shit ain't saying nothing.
Maybe he died.
No, it still says he's there. Maybe he's muted. Yeah, he's muted.
Oh, he just messaged me and said, need to take a pee break. Be back in a bit.
If you have to come back in a bit, that's not a pee break.
Oh, well. Next game to talk about is called American Fugitive, developed by Fallen Tree Games, published by Curve Digital, released May 21st on PC and PS4, the 23rd on Switch, 24th on Xbox One for $19.99. Framed for your father's murder, you'll need to do whatever it takes to unveil the real culprit. Tackle thrilling missions for the criminal underworld, just don't let the cops track you down. Cole, tell us about American Fugitive.
I'm gonna fit the most genre descriptors I've ever used for a single game. Are you ready?
Yes.
American Fugitive is a top-down, open-world, action-adventure sandbox.
You could fit a couple more in there.
My lungs hurt. Anyway.
Dating sim with RPG elements, rhythm game.
I would play the shit out of that because I love dating sim games. if you threw in some Kitty Powers Matchmaker into American Fugitive, I'd be like, fuck yeah. Anyway, back to this game.
Anyway.
you're taking control of Will Riley. That's a horrible to say combination of letters. Will Riley. And he has been framed for the murder of his father. So, of course, he gets sent to prison. And he ain't having none of that shit. So he breaks out. Once you help him break out, then you've got to help him stay out. And that's not as easy as it sounds. Because he quickly finds himself going on a ton of criminal fetch quests for his ex-brother-in-law. And then he works his way up the criminal food chain.
Because when you're trying to avoid jail, you get involved in criminal activities.
It seems like an odd combination. Basically, everything he does is with the premise that he's trying to find the real murderer for his father's murderer. So yeah. In a way, he's trying to clear his name, but he's just making shit so much worse. And he already had an impressive rap sheet to begin with. So he's not exactly somebody that is, you know, an honest, good hero who has been falsely accused. Like, pre-game life is pretty shitty, dude. He just happened to not do this one shitty thing he's accused of.
Yeah.
So, you know, one out of like 700 ain't bad. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's okay. Once you escape from the prison, your very first goal is to not be wearing prison orange anymore.
Smart. Very smart. What clothes did you wind up in? Because I picked
the dresses every fucking time.
I got a dress too.
I love the whole process. Like, when you're interacting with other characters, there's not active cutscenes or anything in that regard. It will pop up two, you know, circles, and they're kind of mildly animated here and there, but they're not overly done. They'll kind of like make expressions or whatever. And then it has the dialogue text boxes. But what's hilarious is like whatever your character is wearing
shows because up you're in trying the cutscenes.
It shows up in those little animations and it's hilarious every time he's got on, like, he's just this big angry looking dude.
Wearing a red dress. He looks
like basically like every motherfucking redneck around here. All he's missing is the rat tail.
Oh, God. I used to have one of those in elementary school.
There are kids in our elementary school that still have them. They're very popular here.
I used to be able to wrap it around my face and through my mouth.
I am not at all surprised by this information.
Back in the days when I had hair.
That is more surprising than that you had a rat tail.
Anyway, as you were saying.
Anyway, Riley in the little circles with his little dresses reacting to shit is just like, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I didn't want to review this game at first because everybody was like, oh, it's like Grand Theft Auto. And I'm like, fuck no. I hate Grand Theft Auto. I have no interest in that shit. And yet for some reason, I've gone back to this game so much this week just because I wanted to.
It's a fun game.
It really is. It's so easy to get hung up and just like spend so much time seeing if you can outsmart the cops and rifle through as many houses as possible and not get caught.
How much time did you spend?
Hey, he's back.
I don't want to talk about it, but I spent more time than you just did in the bathroom.
Hey man, I'd see it bad about a dog. When you gotta go, you gotta go. Just gotta let it go.
That means you missed the whole rat tail conversation. You should be sad. We were talking about rat tails, my dude.
Oh Jesus.
No, I'm pretty sure I had more important things to do.
Did you have a rat tail when you were a kid? Are you trying to hide this information?
No,
you cannot suppress information from fans.
No, I did know a kid with a rat tail and looked dumb as hell, so no, I dodged that bullet.
Did you have a mullet?
Did I have a mullet? No. Mullet.
What kind of kid were you?
One that didn't grow up in the sticks there, Cole.
That was not your best impersonation of my accent. Thank you.
That was a lot better. Anyway, American Fugitive.
Yeah, anyway.
Speaking of dicks.
I mean, I guess in a way he was a dick.
Yeah, he was kind of dickish.
He's a dickish. And he doesn't have a rat tail. But he does wear dresses. The purple ones are best. The green ones are okay. The red one is good. You can totally pick pants if you don't want your character running around in a dress. But I don't know why you would.
Yeah, really.
The whole fun is that you just look fucking stupid. And the best part is, like, when somebody rats you out or the police see you commit a crime and it pops up in the corner and it's like, it describes what you did, what your crime was, and then it will say your description and it'll say like man in red dress and you're just like, ah! This is big criminal mastermind and he's just running around getting in trouble in a red dress. Yes.
Hey, it looks pretty.
The whole point of being able to change your clothes is that it's a good way to get away from the cops, although it's not particularly effective if you change from, like, one red dress to another red dress.
Yeah.
Like, at least swap it up to a green one. These have got to be the dumbest goddamn cops in the world, though. Like, I'm flabbergasted at how easily they are. They don't realize that they're in this tiny little town that there's just one dude always running around in a dress. Getting into crime?
Maybe they're cousins.
Although, to be fair, the ex-brother-in-law does say that, like, he's got a few on the payroll.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's we're going to use that as our excuse for why they ignore the shit you pull. Because it is funny, when you break into a house, you don't actually have any, like, the camera doesn't follow you into that house or anything. It will pop up like a floor plan. And then you'll move your little icon around from room to room and search. And then if something happens and there's somebody home or the police show up or whatever, it will, you know, play out in this little 2D flat floor plan. One of the funny things, though, was it'll count down till when the cops are going to arrive. And so they come no matter what. Any time you break into a house, the cops are going to come, even if nobody's there. But they will start to surround the exit points. You can have a cop standing right outside the window, go in the next room, go out the window directly beside of it, and run away. And they don't care. They like... There goes the little dude in the purple dress, just do out the window right beside of him, and they don't give a fuck. I was flabbergasted, and yet somehow they will manage to give you a wanted level for like hitting a fence, and yeah,
get wanted in this game for everything.
It's super sort of like, easy to shake it though.
True.
I was gonna say sort of like Skyrim when you accidentally kick a chicken.
Oh god! Mm-hmm.
And then you become like, you know. Pretty much Skyrim's the number one most wanted.
Yeah, for kicking a chicken.
Don't run over the chickens in this game. Just adds to your level. Just shoom. There's cows too. You can hit basically anything, and it's a mess. I have one major complaint, and I can understand why it is the way it is. Even though I'm sitting here saying, oh, well, you get away from the cops, and you know, so easily and everything, the running is so fucking slow.
Oh, it is. You even can sprint, but even the sprint lasts, what, like 2 seconds you could sprint and then you got to stop?
You do get skill points from carrying out missions and stuff, and you can use those so that, you know, you don't get winded as fast, but you still move so slow. And it's such a big shift because you get in a vehicle and just like they're hair triggered. they fly around curves and do donuts and you're just barely touching the button. And then you get out and you run and it's like he's got lead shoes. And you're just like, I fucking hate you, move. And yet still we'll outrun the cop. I don't get it. I did manage to get a wanted level enough to get the SWAT to chase after me, and I still shook them.
Oh God.
Just I found a corner that was dark and I crouched down in some grass. And the helicopter and the SWAT teams and their big armored trucks, they just right by.
They just gave up.
Yeah, they're just like, never mind, it's fine. Enjoy your purple dress.
All right, well, minor gripes aside on American Fugitive, $20, what do you think of it?
I had so much more fun with this than I expected. I give it a buy it.
Nice.
Yeah, I really do.
All right, well, one last game to talk about tonight. I told you it was a quick one. Back in 1995, developed by Throw the Warped Code Out, published by Rattlelake Games, released May 21st on PS4, 22nd on Xbox One, 24th on the Switch for $9.99. Be transported to a world both concrete and indistinct where you must uncover the mystery surrounding the disappearance of your daughter, the catastrophe that shook the city, and why you've decided to finally return. Cole, what is Back in 1995?
I'm not sure, but I will tell you that even though as much as I played in this game, that is the most story that I had in, like, I didn't realize any of that existed. So, Back in 1995 is meant to pay homage to classic survival horror games.
Like, it's just classic survival horror games.
Like, all of the bad parts of survival horror games. I mean, this game is wearing CRT lined rose colored glasses about classic horror games. Thankfully you can turn those CRT lines off.
Oh, that's good.
You can turn them off. You can turn them up, which is just fucking stupid. You can't see anything. It's the worst thing ever.
But if you want the full experience.
No, that is not if you want the full experience of just walking into a wall because you can't see shit else. And I'll explain why that's so bad. Because the graphics in this, I know I've said that like I'm wearing thin on pixel art lately. That's in reference to how I feel about good pixel art. This is not good pixel art.
Oh no.
Everything just looks very blurry and it's very gray with occasionally a little bit of blue, and the textures are all stretched, and when you're walking around in rooms, the floor texture literally looks like somebody is taking a warp brush in Photoshop and moving it over the floor because they couldn't animate the motion of the floor.
Weird.
That is off. And then you put those CRT lines on top and you're just like, excuse me, I need a puke bucket.
Oh boy.
It's not good. And I feel so bad. So,
well, it's meant to look like early PS1 games, so I guess they accomplished that.
I don't even feel like early PS1 games were this bad.
Wow.
This is like cranked to 11 on the what the fuck are they doing scale. I'm but sorry.
Is the game fun at least?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
No, don't sugarcoat it.
I mean,
it was the pure, unvarnished truth.
In all reality, like when you read the description, I was sitting here going, I didn't realize that any of that was in the game because it doesn't give you that kind of story. The most you really kind of get is, there used to be supply lines between buildings and now they're down and you've got to get them back up to go help somebody for some reason. Like everything is very vaguely laid out. There's no real descriptions. The enemies, the first ones you're going to run into, they literally look like sweet potatoes with arms.
Okay.
And I sweet like potatoes. Low poly stretched texture sweet potatoes. And it's just like, I don't know what you are or why you're a thing. and it doesn't get much better from there. There are a couple of enemies as you get further along that are kind of creative looking. They got some funky ass long legs. But again, there's no explanation for any of these things. It's just they're in the way.
Yeah.
And the actual gameplay is like basically fetch quests. I've been locked up here on top of this staircase for like years or whatever, and I need a document that's down on the third floor, and I can't get through all the enemies. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to the third floor to go get these documents. I don't know why the documents are important, but let's go. I will say, thankfully, that there's plenty of weapons and ammunition and health, so at least you're not going to get horribly fucked up. You can get through the game. It does have tank controls, and it does have those fixed cameras. Again, it's the rose-colored glasses of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Make people think that those things are a lot better than they are. At least, I will give it credit for this, because a lot of the times when you have a game with tank controls, they limit you to the D-pad. At the least, you can use the analog stick.
Well, that's good.
So hallelujah for one small miracle. most of the enemies that you're going to encounter, you can basically take everything out with a wrench. Anything you're going to encounter, you can hit with the wrench and be done with it. You will pick up a pistol or a shotgun or whatever if you find them. Ammo's there, and it basically is just classic old, you know, tanky shooting.
Yeah.
You know, you hold RB, it pulls up the weapon. I wish there was literally anything to kind of give you an idea of where you're aiming, though. There's nothing. You know, you might think you are, and because it's fixed camera, like you can't twist yourself or anything to see if you've got a good line on an enemy. So you may think, you know, you're dead aimed at something and you're going to miss it by like literally a cock hair, and you're like, well, cute, that wasted a bullet. And you can't, you know, you can't tell that you're gonna hit it or not.
No.
There's just no indication. At least usually, like, even old school Resident Evil games, your pistol had a lot of them, you would have like a laser sight, so you could see the little dot of where it was gonna hit. Nothing. Nothing in this one.
Oh, boy.
There is one other benefit to this game.
What is it?
It's a fairly easy completion.
If you can beat the game. I was going to ask. It's a Rattle-like game. Was it going to be an easy completion? So
now, it's not like a 15-minute easy completion like some of their other ones. It'll probably take you 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
But you can do it. And it's basically just beat the game. And you're going to get most of the achievements. There are a couple of little hidden things, but there's guides. So, I mean, you can get it in a reasonable amount of time.
No.
Saving grace.
Saving grace. Well, is that saving grace enough to merit this game being $9.99? Back in 1995, what do you say?
No, I give it a deny it.
Bummer.
I think the visuals are so harsh and just the warping of the textures when you're trying to walk around and stuff, it's just too much. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. Hey, they can't all be winners.
Yeah. And I mean, of all the Rattalaika games that I've reviewed, this is 2 that have gotten deniance. So, I mean, they're still on good odds. I mean, they.
What was the other one?
One More Dungeon. Yeah. So, you know.
Well.
You win some, you lose some.
Very true.
But
well,
I'm sure there's plenty of people that are going to be like, hey, easy completion anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that people who grew up with the PS1 era survival horrors will probably find something to enjoy in this one. But it's just, it's one of those things where it's not for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sad piece.
Oh, well. But that is it for this episode. We made it through. A little longer than I thought it would be. Holy shit. Hour and a half.
I mean, rat tails.
Yeah, rat tails. And then Ian being here. Dauntless was a nice discussion. Music this episode, I am thrilled. The brand new album from the 1UPS is out, so I'm going to be playing a couple of songs off of that. Ian, do you have any final words to end the show?
No.